think we dim the lights right there a little bit might help with some. So if you'd like to turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 9. And good morning to you all. Thanks for those great songs, Alan. Oh, you're over there. Thank you, Alan. And I also enjoyed Ferris Lord Jesus this morning at JIT and praise him. We've had some good songs this morning. I'd like to take up a topic which I don't normally do on current events, but I've actually prepared this. I see November 16th, 2023. So it's been percolating a while in my mind, and I checked when I realized that I would be speaking today. Some time ago, I began to review to see if it was still relevant, and I believe it is even more so. And I think it will be particularly helpful for us to understand some things about the battle that we're in as the Lord's people. But I wanted to start with these verses in John because it reassures us of something important. Let's read verse 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as you have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved. As I have loved you. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we need love. And I believe, as young people and as us older soldiers of the Lord have experienced, you young people will also experience some rejection in your life, because if you stay true to the Lord Jesus, you'll suffer for it. And I think it's important that we prepare you for this. So I want to go through some things, but I want to also reassure you that if the Lord be for you, who can be against you? We are on the Lord's side, and he is winning the victory. And even though it may seem pretty intense, this outcome is already determined by the Father. So let's get into it a little bit. What you're looking at up here is a Harvard University shot with a Hamas protest. It's favorable toward Hamas, who attacked Israel on October the 7th, 2023, and slaughtered 1,200 of their citizens in what has been described as a barbaric attack that included the slaughter of babies, children, also included rape, torture, beheadings, and what I would describe as a demonic butchering of Jews. This happened less than a year ago. The protest took place here on many universities, not just Harvard, but many elite colleges, which include Cornell, MIT, NYU, MTU, and many more. This morning, I read an article about the anti-Semitism, which it means anti-Jew, at Columbia University. So this is not being done in a corner. This is being done at our universities. And if you see that flag that you see there, you'll know that is people who hate Israel. They're anti-Semitic. And this is, they are moving, I'll be quite bold here, after the father of lies, which is the devil. All right, so the Hamas sympathizers, which is a terrorist group, they condemn the IDF. You know what the IDF is? The Israeli Defense Force. To defend itself from this horrific coordinated attack. There were tunnels that were made in Palestine, under hospitals, under schools, in roads, and if you, you go online, you can see these tunnel networks that they made. And these were an effort to provide a shield for their dirty work toward Israel, launching rockets and such to the destroyed Jewish people. But the attack on the 7th of October showcased again the need to eliminate the threat of Hamas, which is a known terror organization which has long fomented hatred and openly called for the annihilation of the nation of Israel. You've heard the slogan, from the river to the sea. How many of you have heard that? Okay, many here, not all though. It's a slogan that is chanted by Hamas sympathizers, and this is what it means. The annihilation or the destruction of all Jews from the River Jordan, that's the river, to the sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea. In other words, they want to wipe Israel off the map and destroy the Jews. That's what their aim has been. It's been no secret. Now, here's a question. How did so many... see, I'm not getting a signal here. Thank you.
I'll try it.
Okay. Nope. Hmm? Oh, yeah, there we go. There we go. Thanks, Michael. Yep. All right, here's a question that some have legitimately raised. How did so many American universities become schools of indoctrination for terrorism? How did that happen? And how did the organizations that professionally orchestrate Jewish hate, such as the SJP, that's the Students for Justice in Palestine, and the PFLP, which is the American Muslims for Palestine, and Islamic Jihad, get such a strong foothold in our American universities? How could this happen? Here's some more pictures of Hamas demonstrations. And this is in Israel, when they were celebrating the carnage of 1,200 Israelites that had been destroyed. They thought this was something to celebrate. Pitiable. And you can see some of the things that were going on as the slaughter went on in this surprise attack. Here's the aftermath of it. You can see the grieving that took place. By the way, I'm careful, mothers. I'm not showing anything too graphic here. There were temporary stands put out with pictures of their loved ones in this places where they were put to death, innocent victims, and the grieving that went on. There's many, many pictures online that show this type of thing. All right, there's the SJP, Students for Justice in Palestine. That's what they call themselves. And then here's another one, the AMP, American Muslims for Palestine. You notice here that they're holding a day of rage against Israel. These are not nice people. And they may look friendly, and especially to you young people, if you go to college sometime, they may say, come on along with us, you know? But these are not nice people. Also, in a news article by Danielle Wallace, she interviews and then writes in an interview with Noah Tishby. How many of you are familiar with that name? Okay, Rena. Okay, Noah Tishby is an Israeli actress, quite well known in Israel, but she has come to the forefront and visited our Congress, and she made a demand, a speech, and she made a demand of Congress that they require the FBI to fund and to learn the terror links between college groups that are brainwashing American students. And she exposed in her interview the terrorist groups that are infiltrating our universities and colleges. The campus influencers, as they are called, have been allowed full access. And in the words of Noah Tishby, are grooming and brainwashing our young minds and souls to hate Israel, to hate Jews, and to hate America. She goes on to ask, how can it be that college fees and taxpayer dollars are funding hate groups that cheer on the burning alive of Jewish families? Every college in this country should ban SJP and never let them back. We wouldn't fund KKK chapters in our college. Why should we be funding SLP and the other terror organizations? So she appeared in Congress in mid-November, and she called upon the House of Representatives Ways and Means Committee to cut tax dollars if universities fail to remove SJP off campus and defund the ringleaders of anti-Semitic organizations with protected status under our American universities. And she went on. So it's not just there. You see the picture here, UNICEF, that used to be an organization that was around when I was a kid. We used to go trick-or-treating, and we figured out one house that if we went there and said trick-or-treat for UNICEF, and we could tell the guy at the house what it meant, he would give us a whole handful of change. We thought that was pretty cool as kids. But I'll tell you, UNICEF, whatever it was when I was a kid, has become a terror front, indoctrinating our children in the ways of terrorist thinking. And the other one is Amnesty International. So beware of these things. The Arizona Superintendent of Education, he raised the alarm that our nation's K-12 schools are being whitewashed with terrorism, streaming from educational sources like Amnesty International and the United Children's Fund, better known as UNICEF. So these two organizations are making efforts to bring terrorist ideology into our children's textbooks in subtle ways that appeal to children. More is coming to light, and we could go into more detail here. But what I'd like to talk to you about this morning is an insidious conflict and hate war waged internationally upon two groups in particular. The first group that I'd like to talk about are the Jews. As you probably understand, jihad is a form of Muslim, it's a Muslim threat that many Muslims will move to after they establish a caliphate or a presence, a stronghold in a particular region. At a certain point, if one of their clerics call for jihad, peace-loving Muslims will suddenly turn into rage and fight to the death to kill Jews and Christians. Their war is with Jews and Christians, which, by the way, is the second group I want to talk about this morning. In the Quran, you can see what these ideologies are teaching. And you can read it there. But what I would like to draw attention to is that killing is okay if there is corruption. And what does the Quran teach is corruption? Jews and Christians are always corrupt. You get it? It's not too complicated. So this is always in the background with a person who is a follower of Islam, is that jihad is an option. And if the cleric calls for it, they will fight to the death. Now I'd like to go to another organization that believes in Holocaust, just as radical Islams do. And I think you'll recognize him. Oh, there's Noah Tishby, by the way, in case you were curious. And this was the article that I referred to. By the way, it's not just these two, but Noah Tishby was interviewed by several in several places, and these are two of them, if you're curious and want to take a read. All right, this is who I was referring to, Adolf Hitler. I want to ask, now you older adults know Adolf Hitler. How many of you young kids know who Adolf Hitler is? Okay, one, two, three. Okay, not very many, not surprising. But Adolf Hitler was one of the big time causes of World War II. And he believed in what was called the Aryan race. He thought that whites were superior and that Jews were inferior, and he called for the extermination or destruction or murder of every Jew alive in Germany and under his dominion. He fought a war for this cause. His war was moved by hatred, outright hatred, and he was moving in step with the father of lies, which is the devil, who hates God's people, the Jews. And so he called for the destruction. And for a while, he was quite successful. And he developed Nazi camps, death camps. You can see them here. Here's where they were in Germany and outlying areas. And they exterminated 6 million Jews. The Holocaust Museum is been formed to show that this really happened. There are people who deny that it happened, but the evidence is very strong. Adolf Hitler. So, by the way, Adolf Hitler was not the beginner of these things. He actually learned a lot of his hatred in Catholic writings. And if you go back during the medieval centuries that preceded Adolf Hitler, there was widespread indoctrination and teaching that the Jews were responsible for all the problems that they experienced. Things like the plague of Justinian, the bubonic plague called the Black Death, the Italian plague, the Great Plague of London, and other calamities were blamed on the Jews. Many in the name of Christianity, and notably the Roman Catholic Church, persecuted Jews as a cursed race, as Christ killers, and infidels who were responsible for bringing divine judgment on mankind. These movements were efforts to cast them away and even eradicate Jews for centuries before Hitler brought it to a climax. During World War II, author Dave Hunt, in his book, The Woman Rides the Beast, exposes how the Roman Catholic Church created safe havens and escape routes known for Nazi war criminals during and following the war. All right, the second group, I already mentioned it, but the second group that has been subjected historically to hate and persecution are Christians. And I want you to prepare for this, young people. You may be persecuted for the name of the Lord. But remember what the Lord said, do not fear those who kill the body, right? But fear him who is able to cast both body and soul into the outer darkness. Our Lord is greater than the adversary. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But these verses here were spoken by the Lord Jesus to his disciples. And I think it's only fair to our young people to read them. If the world hates you, this is what Jesus said to his disciples, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. In other words, it would love you if you're not a believer. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Also, I'd like to just read another example of early persecution that we read about in the Bible, right up here, Acts 8, 1 through 4. Now Saul was consenting to his death, that is, Stephen. Remember Stephen's martyr? At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation, or they wept over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every home and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere, preaching the gospel. Oh, what a great outcome. And they even counted it joy to suffer for the Lord's name. You know, sometimes persecution makes us better people, because it helps us to define what's really important, what really counts. So, we understand that Christians are called to suffer for our Lord Jesus. We are taught this in many New Testament passages. I want to cover a few more here. Here's a couple more. In Romans 18, 16, and 17, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. What a wonderful verse. Our Lord suffered. If we are the Lord's, we will suffer too. A servant is not greater than his master. Philippians 1:29, for you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Are you willing to suffer for the Lord? You remember he suffered for you. We remember him Sundays, how he suffered for us. Why did he suffer for us? He loves us. And why are we willing to suffer for him? Because we love him. And our love is great. Now, the people who want to destroy Jews and Christians, their hate is great. But our love is great. And so the very people that persecute us, we pray for them, and we share the gospel with them that they might be saved. Okay, now remember, our weapons are not carnal. They're not like the enemy. We return good for evil, and we respond like the Lord Jesus did. God has really called us to a high order here, hasn't he? But he will equip you, and you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit if you stand up for the Lord. All right, probably, and I'm speaking particularly to mothers, but fathers too, probably one of the most difficult areas of Christian persecution is concern for our children, right? And our loved ones. That's legitimate. And God knows this. This is where we must be strong in the Lord, understanding that we are raising children not to be weak, but to be strong in the Lord and to learn how to stand up in persecution. We don't want our children to stand... Don't we want our children to stand firm in their faith for Christ? So this involves us teaching them to be able to stand alone, not with what's popular, not with what everybody else is doing. Stephen stood firm all by himself as they were hurling rocks at him. And you know, no amount of ridicule, attack, verbal attacks, and finally rage that took his life could quench that man's faith. And may that be true of you and I. The early Christians in Acts grew bolder and bolder in their faith as they were persecuted. As Stephen died for his faith, his eyes were opened to see the Lord Jesus standing, welcoming him into the glory that awaited him. So, mothers and fathers, we need you to understand this conflict and to prepare your children to live for Christ at any price. God gives us great comfort to show us the bigger picture of what's happening.
All right.
So here's some encouragement for you. This one is in 2 Corinthians 4, 16-17. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, this is how the Lord describes our persecution, light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now that's encouraging, and it's true. Another one here is in 1 Peter 4, 12-14. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, test you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, that you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of God, the Spirit of glory and God rests upon you. So now let's focus on the conflict of battle that we are called to fight as soldiers of Christ. So whether we like it or not, we have three enemies in this battle. This will be familiar to many of you. The Bible describes our enemies this way. The first one is described as me, myself. But actually, it's the old man. I put a little ugly picture of an old man up here. I deliberately tried to make him ugly because that describes what we were before we were a believer. And you know, we have to put that guy to death. We really do. It's a daily struggle for us. But I would like to encourage you that God equips us to put him literally to death. This I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves to lewdness, that would be sexual immorality, to work on all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So put off the old and put on the new, and God will help you if you desire to do this. You've got to be in God's word, and this has got to be a discipline in your life, to read God's word daily, because this is a daily struggle. And the old man is there, and he's lurking, and he will sometimes rear his ugly face, but you just say, no, you have no more power here. I follow the risen Lord Jesus. All right. This is another great verse. I'm going to put it up here as a reference, because we're going to move on for the sake of time. But it's a wonderful verse on putting off and putting on. All right, the second enemy. If the world hates you, keep in mind, it hated me first. That's what the Lord said to his disciples. All right, so the world can have quite an influence on us. It's got pretty persuasive voices out there. And if you're not feeding on God's word, you are vulnerable to those voices. You know, we all like to fill our minds and hearts with something. And if it's not God's word, it will be something else. And that void, you know, we have a hungering and a thirsting for things. And so our tendency as sheep, God calls us like sheep, is to wander. That's our tendency. And the education of the world is not to be trusted because it contains godless views, anti-Christian mindsets that the Bible warns us about. For example, in Colossians 2:8 we read, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." So, what does it say? Beware. Beware. And read the word. Because then you'll know the truth. Alright, the third enemy. There he is. It's a symbolic picture there of what Satan does. He's like. Doesn't say he is. He's like a roaring lion. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. And what does he want to do? Devour you. He wants to destroy you, consume you. It says in James 4:5, it says in James 4:5, "Or do you think the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously?" It's an interesting verse. God is a jealous God. He wants your love. He doesn't want other loves in your life. He gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. And then what does it say? What does it say, Isaac? Right up there. Resist
the devil.
And he will flee from you by the power of God. He's no match for the power of God. And also consider Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You know, the devil likes to worm his way in. But remember, he's like a lion. And he's going to cause destruction in your life if you allow the old man a place. For example, you get angry and you sin and you hang on to it. And it becomes a canker and a bitterness in your soul. That's giving the devil a place. And the Lord would not want us to be under that kind of power in your life. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. You see, the seasons when we're not being in the onslaught is very important for our preparation, so that when the evil day comes, you're ready. But if you're not equipped, if you don't have the armor of God, you are in a bad way, very vulnerable to the attack of the evil one. So, despite our three adversaries, there are great reassurances for our victory in Christ. And we can be thankful, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory in our Lord Jesus. And then in 1 John 5:4 it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Our faith in what? Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This gives us the victory. All right, so let's look a little closer at the devil's purposes, and I'll wrap this thing up. So here, I put down 2 Thessalonians 2, 5 through 12, and both of these verses give us a panoramic view of what's coming. I don't know how well you know these verses, but they're very key prophetic verses that tie in with Revelation quite a bit. But Paul reviews with the Thessalonians. Do you not remember, he says, that when I was with you, I told you of these things. And now you know what is restrained, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains, which I believe is the Holy Spirit, will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, which I believe is the Antichrist, he's got many names in Scripture, but that's one of them, the lawless one, will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So this man of sin, this lawless one, this Antichrist, this beast, this little horn, this abomination of desolation, he's got a lot of names. He's coming. And you know the downward spiral of lawlessness that we see today, defunding the police, you know, letting rapers go free, and some of the things that some of these wicked attorney generals are doing, is just a precursor to the Antichrist. He will be called the lawless one, and it's coming. But don't be worried. Christ is coming, and he will be consumed. And then it goes on to say, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So what's the devil's scheme? You can see it unfolding in these verses. But in the mind of the devil, the conflict has been and has always been around his attempt to deceive and use men and women to thwart God's purposes. He's against whatever God wants to do, and he's trying to undo it and undermine it and make it of no effect. And we see how Satan deceived Adam and Eve right at the beginning. And he uses deceit all the time. He's the father of lies, Jesus said. Jesus described Satan's methods this way. He said to a certain group of religious people, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's John 8:44. So we sometimes, I think, we wonder, how can people be so blind as to want to defund the police? You ever wondered that? I mean, how stupid. And yet, there are a lot of people. Joey was at the Morehead State University, and there were some very smart people over there, professors, who were calling upon, we need to defund the police. That's the problem. That was their idea. And so, how can people be so blind? And how can people be so blind as to want to just make laws to destroy babies in their mother's womb? How can they be so blind? Well, God's Word gives us the answer. Ephesians 4. I say, therefore, testifying to the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance in them, because of the blindness of their heart. You see, that's why. They don't have Christ. They don't have the light of God's truth. And Ephesians 2, 1 and 3 goes on. And you can see how he works, the Spirit. How he works. The Spirit, that Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You know, that was us at one time. And so we as believers bring the light of God's word to them and pray for them that they might receive it. I've shared this several times. I hope it doesn't get overly done, but I had a friend back in my college years who was quite an immoral man. I did not like to work with him. We worked together at Brink's armored truck. We carried money to the banks. And this guy's name was Jim, and Jim was quite the reprobate. And he loved to tell me his lurid stories, and I'd tell him, Jim, I don't want to hear it. And he'd laugh and tell them anyway. And one day, I was just talking to him about the Lord's leading in my life. And I said, does this make you uncomfortable, Jim? And he said, oh, actually, he said, I'm quite interested. So I shared the gospel with him. Well, that led to some things. And I went to a Bible study with him that he was having with Jehovah's Witnesses. And I don't know how he roped me into that, but it happened. And so we were there. And Jim began to see that maybe that what I was telling him was worth listening to, and so he wanted more. Well, to make the long story short, he became a believer. He became a missionary pilot. He's going on for the Lord, Jim Kronberger. One of the key areas of his life was immorality, and he really believed strongly in abortion. After he got converted, I never had to talk to him about those things. Suddenly, he was bright to life. Suddenly, he was no longer wanting to live in immorality. In fact, it disgusted him. You know, you see? Blindness. Coming to Christ made all the difference. So be careful that you're not trying to moralize the lost. Bring them the gospel. That's what will make the change. So just a quick reminder. So what is the devil's scheme right now in our present time? Well, I don't have time to go into all of this. Daniel is quite an illustration of it all. But I want to say this about Daniel. I got a whole page. I'm not going to go over it because of the time. But Daniel was worried. He was concerned. The people of God were in captivity. The altar was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. They were taken away captives in a foreign land. They were persecuted. His friends had been made eunuchs. Barbaric stuff was going on. And Daniel never lost sight of his Savior. And God never departed from these men and women who loved him. He was faithful, and he revealed things to Daniel of things that were coming and wonderful things. God would keep his word, and God had high purposes at work. He was with Daniel through the persecution. He was with Shadrach, Meshach in the fire. And he'll be with you and I in any persecution that comes our way. The Lord is faithful. God has promised a future for Israel. It's all over the Old Testament. People who deny that are not reading their Bible. It's very clear. Hundreds of prophecies. I've been detailing them as I went through those book of the Psalms. You'll find them if you go there. But, you know, Satan is at work to move millions and millions of Arabs and the sons of disobedience to annihilate and destroy Israel from the river to the sea. He's at work. And you can see there's the slogan, from the river to the sea. That's the work of Satan. But for Satan, the Holocaust was not enough under Adolf Hitler. You see, his real battle, though, is not against the Jews and against us. We are just, the effort to destroy us is at part of his bigger purpose, which is against God and against God's word. That's where his battle really is. And if God makes a promise to the Jews that he's going to restore them, he's going to reconcile them, and the remnant is going to come back to him in the last days, well, guess what? He would like to destroy every Jew possible so that that doesn't happen, you see? And so that's his mindset. Make it impossible for the prophecies to be fulfilled. Well, he's going to lose that battle, and we are called to pray for the peace of Israel. So let's do that. And just a reminder that the second target, which is you and I, the Lord reminds us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, right? That's not our main battle. Our main battle is not against these foolish people who follow Hamas and carry the placards and against those forces of people. Our battle is against principalities and powers. You know, the Lord has equipped us to really take the battle against demonic hosts. We have the power of God. Don't back down. The word of God is what Jesus used to resist the devil when he came to him. That's a good example to us. The word of God is our sword. And we've been given the defensive weapon or armor as well. All right, so that's what I'm going to close with. And I'm sorry I went over time. But I wanted to be real with you today, but also through this, what we may be coming up against to equip you to be ready for the battle. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you again for your precious word. And Lord, it's so relevant. It's always relevant for us. I pray, Lord, that we would by faith enter into the battle and not be weak, but strong in the Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit might take hold of us and make us useful for your purposes. So we pray this now. And oh, I also want to pray especially for our young people, that they would rise up and enter the battle of the Lord and serve you at any price. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.